Hello, I'm Christine. So today I'm going to be, as Doug was saying, presenting on teen dating violence prevention via social networking website that we developed for the Start Strong Building Healthy Teen Relationships initiative. I have nothing to disclose. And before I get started, I just wanted to acknowledge that funding for this project was provided by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation in collaboration with Futures Without Violence, formerly known as the Family Violence Prevention Fund. So the objectives of this presentation are really threefold. First, I want to discuss adolescent relationship abuse as a public health concern. Second, list the reasons to engage teens in this specific project. And then finally, to discuss the benefits of youth-driven strategies. So what is adolescent relationship abuse? Well, it includes any behavior by a dating partner to manipulate, gain control, or power over the other person in the relationship. It includes physical, sexual, emotional, and psychological, and finally, digital dating violence. In terms of physical abuse among adolescents, as of 2009, the Youth Risk Behavior Survey found that one out of every 10 high school students reported experiencing physical abuse at the hands of a dating partner in the previous 12 months. So that's one out of every 10 high school students reported getting kicked, choked, slapped, or punched by their dating partner. Where the study was taking place is in Georgia. That leads to one out of every 6 high school students, one out of every 5 teens in a serious relationship, and one out of every 2 teens knows of a peer that's in a physically abusive relationship. In terms of sexual abuse among adolescents, one out of 4 teenage girls who's been in a relationship reports that they've been pressured to engage in oral sex or engage in intercourse against their will, and one out of every 3 women reporting physical partner violence also reports occurrence of reproductive coercion, which is the manipulation of their reproductive health. And then in terms of emotional and psychological abuse, more than one out of every 4 teens in a relationship report enduring repeated verbal attacks at the hands of their partner. That includes being called names, leaving or sending mean messages, making false accusations, yelling, manipulating your partner, and accusing them of cheating. And digital dating violence is something that's really emerged in the past 10 years, and it's really only started being measured even more recently in the past 3. As of last year, 30% of teens report being text messaged up to 10, 20, or 30 times an hour by a partner. So when I'm talking about digital dating violence, I'm saying obsessive text messaging, monitoring of social networking websites and cell phones, harassing or stalking electronically, sexting, and cyberbullying. So adolescent relationship abuse is clearly a very big and pervasive problem among our young people. So Robert Wood Johnson Foundation came up with this initiative called Start Strong, Building Healthy Teen Relationships. It's a national 4-year, 11-site initiative, and in Atlanta, it is based in a collaboration between the Jane Fonda Center at Emory Medical School, Atlanta Public Schools, and then the Grady Health Services Teen Clinic. It is a 4-tiered approach. So first is that we will deliver Safe Dates, a teen dating violence prevention curriculum, to all the 7th grade students in the Atlanta Public Schools. Second, we want to engage community partnerships. So we have over 70 community partners in the Atlanta area. And we want to bring in parents, older teens, and teen influencers. Third, we're trying to affect policy change and social norm change. And then finally, we have a social marketing campaign. And that's what KeepItStrongATL.org is a part of. So why are we making this project youth-driven? Well, the goal is to first have teens start healthy relationships. So when they're between the ages of 11 to 14 is when typically teens are getting involved in their first relationship. And that's why we're targeting that age group with this initiative. It's the first time that this is actually the largest study that's ever targeted that specific age group, and we want to make sure that they're keeping those relationships strong over the course of their life. So, as you well know, after the presentations just before me, youth are living online and they're living with mobile communication. Over 73% of young people are on social media sites. And also, I mean, young people know the best about their stresses, pressures, how to use technology, and what messaging really resonates with them. So when we were coming up with the website that we wanted to put together, we were guided primarily by exchange theory, so that this was that people were acting primarily out of self-interest in terms of seeking health behavior change. They were seeking ways to optimize value by doing what gives them the greatest benefit for the least cost. So we acknowledged that young people not public health professionals. We need to target what they really truly value. Additionally, we need to recognize that young people often pay intangible costs, such as time, discomfort, associated with changing their behaviors. And this is what really guided our strategy in developing KeepItStrongATL.org. So we came up with a website with teen leaders that we recruited through the Grady Health Services Teen Program, and they developed the look, the content, the structure, everything basically that went into it. So they wanted to have a music section that you would talk about relationships and music, where a place you could post videos from YouTube and a place you could post photos, games you could play. And it was all driven by our Start Strong Atlanta teens. And we integrated the website across different platforms. So if you post on Facebook, it would also appear on the website itself. If you post it on Twitter, it would feed back into the website and vice versa. Ultimately, we wanted to develop a space where teens could come to voice their thoughts, to share relationship norms, and really challenge the harmful ones that they've been presented with. But then we're going to pose this big question of how can we have youth drive this? So we came up with a three-tiered approach. The first approach, this is Julia and Chenarian, they agreed to have their photo show. We employed two teens, and they were primarily focused on blogging, content creation for the website, and they were responding to the current happenings on the website. They were very easy to direct and manage, but it felt extremely forced. I said a bit forced here, but the more I think about it, the more forced it really was. So we decided to incorporate a second approach. And this approach was to address a wider teen audience. So we would refer teens to the site through schools, through wallet cards, various community events, and other websites that were really trafficked by our population of 11 to 14-year-olds and also older teen influencers. We monitored the site heavily, but there was extreme reluctance to engage. That has actually changed, in part as a result of our third approach, which was we selected a larger group of teen leaders, and this is actually some of our teen leaders here, and they were tasked with coming up with content, commentary, inviting their friends, and to generate enthusiasm, views, and sharing via the site. This is definitely our most successful approach. However, that said, we really had to spend a lot of time and a lot of money, going back to that cost discussion question that was raised the first presentation, training our teens on information about healthy relationship norms, what's an unhealthy relationship, warning signs to recognize in unhealthy relationships. We also held a breakup summit, and this was actually nationally done, where teens came to for a full-day conference to learn how to break up in a healthy way, because that's something that's often not discussed, and it was something we thought was very important. We also did training sessions on digital professionalism and how to what we basically expected in terms of their engagement online and their professional behavior. We also tried to recruit heavily trendsetters. So we measured this by going in terms of the individual's friends, follows, different things. We really monitored their social media interaction as a way of recruiting them to see if they were influencing their friends in terms of shares and all of that different stuff. However, teens are very busy. So this was not always a priority for them. So we did actually pay this group of teens to work on our website, but the approach was definitely more genuine because it was something that they were very passionate about, and we recruited from a diverse pool of people from Atlanta. So our key findings were that youth definitely have the insight into what their peers will find relevant. Second, it's really important to set clear goals for using social media when you're using health messages with this population. You want to make sure that it's specific, targeted, and very youth-driven, because that's what we really engage the most people on. Also, the things that we found interesting may not be very interesting to teenagers. Shocking. But that was definitely something we learned. Also, in working with youth, you really have to be prepared to invest a substantial amount of time in training and resources. And sustainability is something that we're definitely faced with right now as we're in the final year of this project. But how can we keep this effort sustainable and continuing? And that's something, if anyone has any ideas, please come talk to me afterwards. At the end of the day, it's extremely worth it. Working with youth is very rewarding. They can lead efforts, they can inform their peers, they're very effective advocates, and they embody healthy relationships. They're very credible messengers, and they're essential in shifting the social norms surrounding teen dating violence. Thank you.